Good morning, Tucson, Arizona. Welcome to The Morning Voice. I am your host, Grant Kruger. Very excited to be here with you this Wednesday, February 12th. All kinds of awesome things are happening in Tucson right now. This is absolutely our highest of high seasons, right? When this springtime comes and all the license plates change colors, you know it is just going to be rocking in the old Pueblo. I am still personally missing spring training these days. I just can't not think about that every single spring. It gets me so sad when I think of the days in the 90s and early 2000s when I was a fledgling restaurant, you know, employee at that time, and we would see some of Major League Baseball's greatest stars making its way through our hospitality establishments. And so truly a tragedy that we've lost that one to Phoenix. Probably not going to come back anytime soon, but I always think about that one as we get into this February high season over here. Now, we're bringing you a new radio format starting up this week called The Morning Voice. We've moved from Jump in Tucson to The Morning Voice to a 7 to 9 a.m. slot. So every Monday, you're going to get Lydia Aranda. On Tuesday, you're going to get Ted Maxwell from the Southern Arizona Leadership Council. On Wednesdays, you're going to get myself, unmuzzled over here, unbridled. We don't just have to talk about restaurants anymore. We can talk about all things going on in the old Pueblo, and I'm very excited about that. On Thursdays, you've got Tom Moulton still from the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. All kinds of cool attractions and experiential things to do here in Tucson. And on Friday, Dr. Ed Ackerley, 7 to 9 a.m. That is going to be your morning voice, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m. Now, for food for thought, I'm going to give you the top four things you need to know going on in the old Pueblo over here. First and foremost, Proposition 414 ballots going to be mailed out this week. If you've been living under a rock, maybe you haven't noticed that the city of Tucson has got a special sales tax election for you coming up, a special Valentine about to hit your mailbox. And quite frankly, this election is going to be decided well before this March 11th date because it is mail-in only. We're going to know those results at probably 8:01 p.m. on the 11th. This isn't going to be like one of those Arizona state elections where we're waiting for ballot drops from Maricopa for weeks and weeks into the future. We're going to know quick. In fact, it'll probably
be. But frankly, we're usually waiting for Pima's ballot drop. So,
right? You know. This might be a change of pace for us. Perhaps that's why we're going to mail-in only elections over here. Or perhaps there's other more nefarious reasons for this one as well, too. We already have an election coming up in November of this year, either way, right? Wards 3, 5, and 6 are going to elect new city council members. And that already is odd that we're doing off-year elections to begin with, right? Our mayoral races happen in 2019, in 2023, in 2027. Why? Especially when we're already doing elections on even years for presidential and gubernatorial candidates. Perhaps there's some reason that you want to have a little bit lower voter turnout and get the results you want. And as well, Proposition 414 could have just happened in November. I talked to city manager Tim Tamir and told me that that cost would be about $1.1 million to run this special election. Again, a $27 million proposed city deficit. And we're going to try to make a tax to raise over $80 million annually to cover that 27 while spending 1.1 to do it when we had an election coming up either way this year. Now you're going to see proponents and opponents of this one. Pretty interesting that there's some divisiveness even amongst the Democrat Party on this one. State Representative Alma Hernandez has spoken up against this one as well, too. And maybe that's showing a bit of that feud between the Hernandez and the Grijalva regimes on the Democrat Party. And of course, the Tucson Metro Chamber has spoken up quite vociferously against this one as well, too, taking a pretty big stand against Proposition 414. But ultimately, no matter what those parties think, you are going to get to decide. Heads up for your mailbox. It's coming for you in the next couple days, a special Valentine from the city of Tucson asking to pick your pockets for another 0.5% sales tax. And it's going to be on you to vote on that one. Number two, the Tucson Rodeo starts up this weekend. That barn dance is going on Saturday this week. The Tucson Rodeo is celebrating its 100th anniversary. Pretty cool to think that it's made it over 100 years, you know, like besides for El Charo and this like ward-only election system, we have not too many other things have lasted over 100 years here in Tucson. And so the Tucson Rodeo is having its 100th anniversary. I was looking into the rodeo history this week, and did you know, Matt, that for the first 7 years of the Tucson Rodeo, that its location was actually at Catalina Vista in the park in that neighborhood?
Yep.
Unbelievable, right?
Isn't that something?
That they had it going on there. And this was started in 1925, of course, during the period of Prohibition, where supposedly they rounded up over 3,000 gallons of illegal spirits and dumped them out as part of this celebration. I think we've kind
that's of not much of a celebration.
Yeah, that sounds kind of sad to me, quite frankly. You know, like, I don't think we're still looking, I think, in Catalina Vista right now for those dumped out 1,000 gallons of aged spirit. So if any listeners out there know about their whereabouts, please
790-2040, you bet. Let us know.
Absolutely.
We'll share.
Yes, without a doubt. But either way, that starts up this week. Really excited for the rodeo. We get a big, big crowd over at the Maverick as well, too, for that one, right? Everybody wants to play cowboy for the rodeo and what I like to call the Yellowstone effect over here. And so this is, you know, high.
Stock up on Coors Banquet, I hope.
Absolutely.
Good man.
You know, Bud Light sales have been down about 35% over the last 2 years. I can't figure out why. But the Banquet beer is strong right now. Everyone's excited for that rodeo. It is truly a rodeo, not just a two-day extra vacation to take your kids to Disneyland, Tucsonans. So just putting that one out there. As well, number three on our list over here, the first Republican city council candidate has announced his entry into the race over here. Jay Tolkoff, a former restaurateur as well, too, right? A man of my own heart over here. Somebody that has taken that risk-reward relationship of restaurants. Jay ran PJ's Subs, located at the 6th and Tucson intersection for many years. PJ's Subs closed just a couple of years ago, pretty much in the middle of the COVID pandemic. And not shocking, I mean, that clipped a whole number of restaurants, but Jay would like to bring his business sense into the city council and has announced his interest in running for Ward 6. At the moment, there are no other Republican candidates even announced yet. No one has filed their statements of interest or statements of organization yet. And those are kind of the tells about how this works. Anybody running that even thinks about running has got to file the statement of interest. And then once you've raised up or at least $500, you need to file that statement of organization. Ward 6 is going to be a relatively crowded field as well, too, as Karen Ulick, our current city council person, cannot run. That was part of her appointment in that. It's Karen's second appointment. She was appointed for Ward 3 previously and obviously moved in some capacity and is now serving in Ward 6. So with that seat being open, there's going to be a host of Democrat candidates. I think there's six out there right now running in a crowded field and one Republican, Kathleen Wynn, who's got a radio show, of course, following us over here on The Morning Voice, has announced that they're planning on running Republican candidates in all three wards in the same way that they did last year as well, or excuse me, in 2023. It's no longer last year. It's now 2 years ago. Yeah. So sorry about that one. It's February 12th. I should be catching up on this one. I'm still signing checks 2024 as well, too. So sorry about that, vendors for Union Hospitality Group. But either way, they're planning on running candidates for all three wards. And as you listeners probably remember as well, too, this is a really big uphill battle for Republican candidates. Not only do they have a 2-to-1 voter disadvantage, should they get through the ward primary, the entire city gets to vote for all six wards, making it even tougher. We haven't had a Republican candidate win a citywide election since Steve Kozacik in 2009, who immediately renounced his resignation from the Republican Party and over to the Democrat side. A number four on our list for food for thought today on the top four things you need to know, Catholic Bishop Edward Weisenberger has announced an upgrade. He's moving to Detroit. Now, this one rings quite personal to me. For those that have had a chance to listen to me on Jump in Tucson before, I happen to be from Detroit, Michigan, born and raised, very proud of that one, a staunch Lions fan. Any listeners ever want to call in and cry in their coffee or beer with me about how this season worked out, we could certainly talk about that. But more importantly, is Detroit suddenly become an upgrade from Tucson? Is this where we've hit? Have we hit some rock bottom where Detroit, Michigan, a city that even near and dear to my heart was sort of the laughing stock of the country to a certain degree, right? Declaring municipal bankruptcy in the late 2000s. And suddenly we're losing our or apostolic leader, as Matt would say, to
barely
to Detroit, Michigan. Like, unbelievable. It does, you know, stick in my craw a little bit and think that, like, somehow have we hit rock bottom that Detroit is truly an upgrade from Tucson? I don't believe so. And as much as I love Detroit, I am proud to be here in Tucson. I am happy and proud to be both a Arizona Wildcat, a graduate of the University of Arizona. I'm proud to have started and raised my families here, to have our restaurants, our entrepreneurial experience here, employ hundreds and hundreds of Tucsonans. And quite frankly, I can't think of a better place to be than the Old Pueblo. Now, when we come back after the break, we're going to bring in one of the biggest proponents of the Old Pueblo. We're going to bring in Edmund Marquez, the vice chair of Rio Nuevo. He's going to talk about all kinds of amazing new and exciting things that Rio Nuevo has coming up for us in the downtown area, a potential partnership with the University of Arizona, all kinds of hospitality wins. Edmund Marquez from Allstate Agency and Rio Nuevo vice chair coming up after the break. You're listening to the Morning Voice on 10:30 a.m., your home for local news and talk. Welcome back to the Morning Voice. I am your host, Grant Kruger. You know, at Union Hospitality Group, we tend to do a lot of things and try to do a lot of donations and you know, benefit our community. But we can't hold a candle to our next guest coming up over here. We've got local entrepreneur, charity MC, Rio Nuevo Vice Chair, a man who gets more charity work done between 7 and 9 a.m. on a Wednesday than most people do in an entire calendar year. It is Mr. Edmund Marquez. Good morning, Edmund.
Hey, Grant, how are you doing, brother?
Very well. Thanks for joining us on the Morning Voice today.
Oh, thanks for having me. That's a very nice intro. And you know, before we get started, I know we're going to talk about some cool stuff today. I just want to say thank you. I mean, you do so much for our community. You are in the trench. So thank you. And this is very cool. You have a radio show. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. We're really excited for the Morning Voice here on KVOI. We've got an opportunity to bring up all things local news, politics, entertainment, sports, and not shockingly, even restaurants. And I know being the Rio Nuevo vice chair over here, you guys are pretty heavily involved in a lot of restaurant operations.
Yeah, we've got a lot going on downtown, and probably as we get into this conversation, we should talk a tiny bit about, just in a nutshell, what Rio Nuevo is, because some people probably just hear the two words and not know what it is. But we are the state of Arizona's only TIF district, tax increment financing. Basically, we get to keep half of the state sales tax generated within our district, which is basically downtown, also a piece of west of I-10 part of downtown, like at the foot of A Mountain. We also go down Broadway Boulevard. We pick up Elkhorn Mall, we pick up Parkway Mall, but we basically, we have a local CEO board here, appointed by the state of Arizona, appointed by the governor, speaker of the House, president of the Senate, and we basically get those half the state sales tax, and we reinvest it into generating more sales tax, more activity within our district. We've done that with a lot of restaurants, you're right, and bars and theaters, Fox Theater, museums, Tucson's Children's Museum, et cetera, and as you probably saw, we made the front page of the newspaper today. We are in the midst of a deal with the University of Arizona, which is super exciting.
Yeah, we're really excited to talk about that one as well, too. But going back to the genesis of Rio Nuevo, it wasn't always run by a board like this, correct?
You're right. Yeah, when it was created in 1999, it was a city of Tucson-appointed Rio Nuevo board. Unfortunately, they spent through about $230 million without a lot to show for it. Arizona Daily Star came in. Arizona Daily Star basically outed the bad operations of that original Rio Nuevo. State of Arizona got upset, wanted to just shut down the TIF district. But you have to ask, how did they get $230 million? That's a lot of money. Well, they borrowed $80 million, then they spent the $80 million, so they had $80 million of debt on the books. So when the state came in, it was when the economy was down. They said, we don't want to take back your $80 million of debt. That's when they were selling and leasing our state buildings, which is another embarrassing topic. But basically, they basically said, we're going to keep you alive. We're going to keep the TIF district going, but the state is going to appoint the board members within this Tucson TIF. And that brought in Rio Nuevo 2.0. Jody Bain and others, bless their hearts, it was very litigious. They had to sue the city, and the city was suing them. They were trying to find out whose assets were whose liabilities were whose. It was just too litigious for too long. Finally, some local business leaders, including Jim Click, got involved and said, it's time to move this thing forward. We now need to make the best of this. Fletcher McCusker came in, Chris Sheaf, myself, others, Jenny Cox, Mark Urban was involved as well. And yeah, we basically created a CEO board. It's now morphed a bit now that Katie Hobbs has come in and appointed some new friends of ours on the board. And yeah, we're a CEO-led board, and we look for economic impact. We do a great job in the economy. We get audited financially every year, and our auditor has said we are arguably one of the best TIF districts in the country. And in the country, there's a lot. If you look at Atlanta, Atlanta's got like 32 TIF districts just in like their Atlanta area. So there's a lot of TIFs out there, and we're one of the best in the country.
Amazing. And you guys have had a lot of wins since yourself and Fletcher took over this board. I believe it was 2012 when he was appointed chair. And it's kind of been a complete 180, like a real turnaround for downtown as well, too, no?
Yeah, we've had a lot of successes. We bragged for a long time that for every dollar that we invested, we got a $10 return. So we were 10-1, which is fantastic. Anyone would take those odds. We brought Caterpillar to town. We put a $90 million reinvestment into our TCC. We've effectively partnered and built 5 hotels downtown, which there had been no hotels for decades, like 50 years before we got the first AC Marriott up. We're in the midst of remodeling, reimagining the Fox Theater with the Fox people, Tucson Children's Museum. You look at the restaurants, look at Sunshine Mile, the new Solot Plaza. You have the bungalows coming online. Hopefully, Friedman Block is coming online. La Bujardia is being redeveloped into a bowling alley and a brewery. So lots of great stuff. We literally just look throughout downtown and down Broadway in areas that we can partner in a public-private partnership so that we can activate a space and make it exciting for Tucson. We want to be more competitive. We want to be a place. We want to be a destination. And things are going very well.
Now, I know you're a big sports fan, a big U of A proponent, but one of the things that I think you guys have done so well is help save other local sports as well, too. Not that the U of A maybe hasn't needed their help financially over the last couple of years, but you guys helped seed both the Tucson Roadrunners and Sugar Skulls as well, too, no?
You're exactly right. Yeah, as we remodeled, the first area that we remodeled the TCC was the arena. So it just made sense, and then we got approached and got the opportunity to bring the Tucson Roadrunners here, which has been a great success. Obviously, there's some turmoil with the Coyotes now moving to Utah, but we still put up the dollars to keep the Roadrunners in Tucson, which was a great victory for our community. And the Tucson Sugar Skulls, if you haven't been to a game, that is a blast. They say it's a party and a football game happens to break out. The guys, Kathy and Kevin Guy and Ollie Farhang on the Sugar Skulls, do a great job. That team is on the up and up. We just bid and won against Las Vegas. So Tucson beat Las Vegas, and we are bringing the indoor football championship game to Tucson and the TCC. It'll be a nationally televised championship football game from our Tucson Convention Center for the next 3 years.
Is that essentially the Super Bowl of arena football?
You nailed it. You got my next line right out. Yeah, that was it. It's basically the Super Bowl. And the cool part, if you think from the economic perspective, it's an August game. There's not a whole lot going on in Tucson. Not a lot of whole lot of hotel rooms being filled. So it's a massive economic boost for us as we're filling the hotel rooms and the fans are coming. Hopefully our Sugar Skulls are in it. But these fans come from all around the country to watch this game, and they're going to fill our TCC in August.
That's amazing. Like, anything that we can do to promote and have local sports, you know, happen over here is such a big deal. You mentioned Ali Farhang, and of course, you know, he is the genesis of the Arizona Bowl as well, too. Pretty much our one other lone, like, massive, significantly, you know, huge sporting event. Like, what an asset to the community Ali is as well, too.
I love Ali. Ali and I went to high school together. We're both Sabino Sabercats, so shout out to Ali. But yeah, you know, it's funny you mentioned sports. You're good. We've been talking and we've been trying to support sports more so from Rio Nuevo, from our marketing dollars. And we just invested in the World Baseball Classic. I think it's Classic World Baseball that's coming to town, which is literally teams from around the world coming to play baseball here. We invest in FC Tucson, John Perlman's FC Tucson. And you think like, well, those aren't played downtown. Yeah, you know what though? If you're on Keno, no offense to whoever was part of building a baseball stadium out on Keno, there's nothing out there except for like a hospital and a sheriff's department. So we market those games, inviting people, the fans, the people, the visitors to Tucson, to come and play downtown, stay downtown, eat in our restaurants, our bars, et cetera. And that's been working out great. So the visiting teams have been coming down. They've been having press conferences in our district. They've been having watch parties in our district. So it's been a win-win, and it's really nice that we're able to support the sports coming to Tucson. I mean, we used to be spring training baseball, Tucson Toros, et cetera. So we have to do what we can to make us competitive against all those other cities we're competing against across the country.
Rumor has it that there could be Mexican professional teams coming here, not just for the Mexican baseball fiesta, but an actual team, like an expansion franchise from an international standpoint that would make Tucson part of the Pacific League. Have you heard anything about that?
I have. I can't speak enough about that. I've just heard it. I've heard the same thing. There's also an opportunity, and I don't know if I'm speaking out of turn, but who cares, right? Let's have some fun. We may get a chance to bring some of that MLB spring training back to Tucson. Not bringing a team to move here, but simply if they're in Mesa, they're in Scottsdale, they may come play a few games in Tucson again, which would be nostalgic and cool. It'd be great to have them back.
That would be absolutely amazing. I happen to know where the whereabouts of the Tuffy the Toro head as well, too. So if we get some baseball games back, I think we're going to have to resurrect Tuffy over here as sort of the Lazarus of, you know, Tucson mascots and get Tuffy back into the fold as well.
So the way I'm reading that is you have the Tuffy head. So very cool. I want to see it next time I see you.
Well, let's just say Jay Zucker and I, you know, from the Toros happen to know of its whereabouts. But I can neither confirm nor deny the accuracy of those other statements.
Very valid. Very valid. And thank you for, I was thinking about you this morning. I went to Coach Brennan's show at Union. And thank you for doing that. It was awesome to hear Coach Brennan. I'm a massive U of A Wildcat football fan. U of A football is my favorite sport of all sports. So thank you for hosting him. He had his assistant coaches and players in the audience as well, which is really cool. And I want to say is at some point we're going to segue to the Rio Nuevo U of A partnership that just happened yesterday. And just know that we are not aiming to take that from you. You have it. Keep paying for it. Keep investing in U of A. But thank you for having that.
We appreciate that. Well, why don't we take a quick break and we'll come back with that teaser. There happens to be a little deal with Rio Nuevo and the University of Arizona Wildcats. Edmund Marquez and I will talk about that when we come back after the break. You're listening to The Morning Voice on 10:30 a.m. The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. I am your host, Grant Kruger, and we are joined with another segment by serial entrepreneur and Rio Nuevo Vice Chair, Mr. Edmund Marquez. Welcome back, Edmund.
Thank you, Grant. Glad to be here. Excited to talk about this next segment.
So breaking news over here. Saw you guys on the front page of the Arizona Daily Star, not the police beat of the Arizona Daily Wildcats. So pretty excited about that to begin with. Let's talk about this deal that you guys just inked for Rio Nuevo with the University of Arizona.
Yeah, thank you. So part of our job at Rio Nuevo is to generate traffic downtown within the Broadway district, which we're focusing on the Sunshine Mile, which is between Euclid and Country Club right now. And we spend a pretty good sizable budget on supporting events like the Jazz Festival, El Tour de Tucson, the Dusk Festival, etc. So we're just really trying to bring that traffic downtown. We tried to think out the box here. We haven't done a lot of traditional marketing per se. We're usually supporting the events, and obviously become a huge fan of Desiree Reed Francois. She's a new athletic director at the University of Arizona. We are so lucky to have her. This is a really tough time in athletics as things are shifting and changing with NIL and universities really having to become a for-profit model, really like their own NBA team, NFL team, et cetera. So we at Rio Nuevo, thanks to really Ray Flores of El Charro, Monica. Thank you. And Ray brought us together. We all sat at the same table. We had a really good conversation. We really just were creative and thought outside the box on what can we do for downtown? What can we do for the Broadway corridor? How could U of A come into play? Can U of A have more of a presence downtown? Can U of A be part of something bigger? Like, can we have a bar restaurant U of A themed? Can we, think of a retail type U of A opportunity? We were just throwing things around. And the one thing that myself and our board chair, Fletcher McCusker, said is we can be creative and come up with a marketing plan that would support University of Arizona and activate downtown and Broadway with U of A, more so than just like if, for example, your union, you have the coaches show, and that's bringing an individual, a coach outside of the university proper and into your restaurant. How can we do something like that? So I literally went down to McHale, sat with Tony Daniels, who's the senior associate athletic director, I think right below Desiree, and I said, I need a dry erase board. And we literally just started mapping out and just breaking the mold. How can we do this? How can we create something cool? And we came up with an amazing package, and we're going to invest $100,000 into this package from Rio Nuevo. And if you think, like, ooh, that could be a lot of money, well, the way I look at it is $8,800 a month. Like, it's affordable. We bring in $17 million a year, so we can do this, right? And we came up with something very creative. So we talked about postseason parties for UVA men's and women's basketball games, being at the playground, for example. I just threw out where I thought things might fit. So at the playground, which is now expanding into the hub, that'd be a really cool postseason party. Just, you know, you could feel the energy there on Congress as the UVA is playing in the postseason. Digital advertisements via social media, which UVA Athletics has hundreds of thousands of followers. They also do emails promoting events. We'd be part of that as well. They would give us two caravan tours. So if you follow that on social media or the newspaper, the coaches, all the coaches, tennis, track and field, et cetera, basketball, football, all the coaches will get together and they'll do a caravan tour where they'll show up in Flagstaff, parts of Phoenix, et cetera. I think maybe even Southern California, maybe. But we would get two caravan stops. Imagine one at like Rocco's, Little Chicago on Broadway, or the Monica, one of Ray's spots, or Hotel Congress, which has a stage, or the MSA Annex, which also has a stage. We'd be getting 30-second radio commercials throughout their sporting events. Also, we'd have spots during their coaches' shows. We'd get a huge sign on the outfield wall of the baseball stadium. It would not say Rio Nuevo. We're not here to advertise Rio Nuevo. We're here to advertise and promote live, laugh, eat, drink downtown, Broadway. Come have fun with us. Come to our nightclubs. Come to our museums. It's going to be like a visitor type spot. And then also, what's huge is they send out a visiting team guide to all the teams that are coming here and the fans. And we would be listed on those fans as preferred hotels and restaurants as they'd come stay in our hotels, eat in our restaurants, etc. We get in-game advertising, PA announcements, video boards, and McHale. We'd have our own static sign inside McHale's. So when you're watching a basketball game, it'll be promoting downtown. And we also get, which I think is fun, we get appearances from Wilbur and Wilma. So imagine, I threw out yesterday the Tucson Children's Museum, and imagine Wilbur and Wilma running around with the kids, having fun, bringing Juve and Wilbur and Wilma downtown. And then because we're, honestly, bluntly, because we're spending so much, we would get into intellectual property rights at UVA, so we'd be able to say proud partner of Arizona Athletics. And I just think this brings a ton of energy and synergy between downtown Broadway and our University of Arizona.
We're going to put
banners up downtown that says Welcome Parents Weekend, thank you graduates, etc. So you guys, you can tell I'm super excited.
Without a doubt, I'm excited for this one too, Edmund. I mean, this is a really cataclysmic change to college sports, and perhaps some of our listeners that aren't as sports focused over here on KVOI, this isn't Spears and Ali by any means today, you know, in the morning, but this is a big deal. House versus NCAA settlement is going to require the university to have profit sharing with its athletes, and how exactly that $21 million is to be divided is yet to be determined. But are there some ways that the student athletes can participate in this one through some NIL opportunities, Edmund?
So there is, and not to get too far out on the NIL piece, because I don't know what's supposed to be talked about or not, but obviously University of Arizona has created Arizona Sports, it's ASE, Entertainment.
Enterprises.
Enterprises, thank you. So they created ASE, which is basically their own in-house advertising firm. So these kids have an opportunity through this advertising firm. Let's just say if the union says, I want to have Noah Fafita at my restaurant, you would pay ASE, and ASE could then employ Noah to go to your restaurant. So there's an opportunity and kind of a way to monetize and pay those players, because the as you said it, it's they, if you opt into this as an NCAA school, you have a minimum of $20.5 million per year in which you have to share with your athletes. And I'm sure Desiree, being as brilliant as she is running the pro formas, looking at the income per sport, kind of divvying it up that way, right? So she can tell you know, who really has earned what dollars. So you're going to get most of your dollars going to men's football, men's basketball. It'll trickle down to women's basketball, softball, et cetera. But there's only two sports that make money at U of A, and that's football and basketball. So this is our way of helping, and this is our way of just think about this. We've never had such access to the athletes, right? Like back when Teddy Bruschi was here or Ricky Hunley was here, you just, if you got lucky, you saw him at a bar on 4th, you know, on a weekend or something if you're a student, but you just didn't see them out in the businesses. And this is a chance for us to get to know our athletes better, support our university, and then just bring that energy downtown and just have a U of A party on like graduation or parents' weekend, et cetera. It should be very exciting. We're going to maximize this opportunity.
I'm excited for the opportunity, too, for non-men's college basketball and football, because those are the sexy sports, right? These are the ones that get all the attention. But at the end of the day, the grand majority of our national championships as Wildcats come through things like women's softball and golf, right? Sports that just generally haven't gotten that attention. And I'd love to find some ways to get both the business and the Tucson community as a whole to help support those sports so that we can continue to recruit at the highest level.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, speaking of sports with U of A, as you probably know, because you and I are buddies off the air, my son Diego runs track for the University of Arizona, which is still blows my mind. And I'm so thankful and grateful. Love it. So we just went to, and they mentioned it in the paper, I just went to Texas Tech to watch Diego run in Lubbock. And then I just went to Albuquerque last weekend to watch him run at the Albuquerque Convention Center, because they have an indoor track they put up there that's temporary. And it's amazing. This seems so basic, right? Like, how would you not connect your downtown, right? Because if you go into any city, the first place you go to go judge that city really is downtown. Then you look for like the shopping, restaurant areas, et cetera. You want to see what that town's all about. It just makes sense. And as I visited Lubbock, which Texas Tech is a juggernaut in this tiny little town called Lubbock. And then obviously University of New Mexico, it has its place in Albuquerque. But there are zero connections to their downtown, zero. And we have an opportunity. Not only does a streetcar connect ours, right? But we're So it's a great opportunity for us.
No, without a doubt. And I salute you guys for taking this opportunity to, on this U of A rebrand and rethink, you know, both with Desiree Reed-Francois, our new athletic director, Arizona Sports Enterprises, the whole NIL program, right, for the listeners, that is name, image, and likeness. The inside joke is always that it stood for now it's legal. And so, like, ultimately, like, us morphing and changing the way we look at the U of A Block A, the way we look at the Wildcat Paw, the way we think about our engagement with U of A athletes or even potential U of A athletes, because we're going to have to participate like this as a community if we're going to expect to be competitive on a national level.
You're exactly right. You know, before, right when COVID was coming, I was lucky enough through a Stanford connection of mine, I was able to be on a Zoom with Mark Cuban. And Mark Cuban said, I don't know what's coming with this COVID thing, but all I can tell you is that you have to continue to adapt to your new economy. And that's what we're doing at the University of Arizona. That's why we sat down on a dry erase board, Tony Daniels and I, and just, we broke the mold. You got to think outside the box right now. I heard the other day, life will never be as simple as it is today. Tomorrow, things will continue to change and adapt with AI coming and the way that they've just completely thrown the rules out with the NCAA and they're trying to get their arms around it again. We have to think outside the box. And this is actually a huge opportunity for our community, Tucson. If we can continue to adapt and be more modern than some of the other programs, we have a chance to make strides and gains that they may not see because we're thinking outside the box. And the one that'll get that done is Desiree Reed-Francois. This ASE, she created it in Missouri. She actually went to the state of Missouri and passed a law allowing them to have a in-house a marketing firm like this. She basically brought NIL and controlled it inside Missouri. And what did Missouri do? They went and won a major bowl. I beat Alabama or somebody that year. Like they had an amazing year because she was ahead of the curve. And she'll do that here for us at U of A.
Well, we're lucky to have the opportunity with Desiree Reed-Francois, and Tucson is lucky to have the Edmund Marquez here on the Morning Voice. Edmund is, of course, you know, part of the vice chair of Rio Nuevo. He happens to be on the SALC board, the Metro Chamber board, and a local Allstate agent. He won't say it, but if you're looking for home and auto, reach out to Edmund Marquez over there. Thank you so much for joining us on the Morning Voice.
Thank you, Grant. Thank you. Thank you for all you do. This is fantastic. Congratulations on your show.
Thanks so much. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Grant Kruger on The Morning Voice, 10:30 a.m., your home for local news and talk. Thank you for spending part of your Wednesday morning with us here on The Morning Voice. I am your host, Grant Kruger. It is Wednesday, February 12th, and we are getting suspiciously close to Valentine's Day. So all you gentlemen listeners out there, be careful. You've got 2 days, repeat just two to get your act together and get that going on. And right now we're going to talk about Valentine's Day, a few of my favorite local restaurants over here to do for Valentine's Day. If you disagree with me or think I'm crazy or got your own suggestions, we are 520-790-2040. That is 790-2040 is our call-in line. But Valentine's Day can be a difficult and challenging day to get a reservation in a restaurant, right? We often turn the entire floor into two tops. Not so easy to do when you've got a floor plan designed to take 8, 10, 12, 16 tops. It can make it quite challenging. As well, this is often considered sort of amateur hour in the restaurant business. And this isn't coming disrespectfully from a restaurateur. I love all of our guests and customers, but certain nights, the Valentine's Days, the New Year's Eves, the Mother's Days of the world, drive a lot of people out to restaurants that often don't regularly go and might not have the decorum or understanding of, you know, a wait list or how a reservation process works. And so do get out there early for the restaurants that take reservations. If you've got that opportunity, take a stab at it, see what you can do, because it can be challenging. That being said, don't be disappointed in a little wait. Even with reservations, sometimes it takes us a bit of time to work this out. Restaurant guests have an unlimited lease time. Right? You get to stay for the duration of your dining experience that's determined by you. This isn't like going to the movie theaters and having it end exactly at 9 so that I can plan for the 9:10 show and clean up and have it ready. When you get to stay as long as you want, tables that we plan for reservations often over, or in some cases understay their welcomes, and as such, it can create a bit of a challenge. And so if you do happen to have a small wait, be patient and know that we're working hard to get you guys processed through the queue and give you an amazing, amazing holiday experience. Some of my favorite local restaurants over here in my top four for Valentine's Day, I'm going to go with an old school Italian place, Basil's, up on Sunrise and Swan, right? We are talking old, old school there, Matt.
And the dark, romantic, you know, right, even with the little dimmer at the booth, right?
Very much, yeah. So. This isn't North by any means. This is your, like, 1984
Amen,
in a
brother.
Box still. Tucson Mafia area, Bonanno crime family sort of thing going on at Basil's. It's dark. It's romantic. It's pretty awesome. As well, too, I like Charro Steak downtown. Right. A lot of people bemoan the fact that we don't have locally owned steakhouses, right? That our best steakhouse, people will say, is Fleming's. And that's the best experience you can get. But I'd say head on down to downtown. As Edmund Marquez would tell you, Charro Steak, the Flores family have been bringing it the last 5 or 6 years. Absolutely the best steakhouse downtown, maybe the best in Tucson. A pretty cool, authentic Tucson experience from a restaurant group that's been around for 102 years, Charro Steak. I also love Wildflower. I know it's now part of, you know, this huge Fox restaurant conglomerate, you know, that was purchased by the Cheesecake Factory. I get it. But give credit where credit is due. This restaurant has been executing for 27 years in the same location in Tucson. Casas Adobe's Shopping Center at the corner of Oracle and Ina. A very, very highly well-executed restaurant. And still, like, my favorite, like, your old school number one on the list over here, I hate to be cliched, but still got to be my man, Dan Scordato at Vivace, right? Located at the northeast corner of Campbell and Sunrise. Vivace, an absolutely wonderful restaurant. That family's been bringing it in Tucson since 1971. So many great options for you to visit in Tucson over here for Valentine's Day. When we come back, we're going to bring on Bill Netherton from Professional Bartenders Unlimited. I'm going to have all kinds of food for thought and local restaurant news when we come back after the break. Thank you for spending part of your Wednesday morning with us on The Morning Voice, 10:30 a.m., your home for local news and talk.